Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Fern from First Presbyterian Church in Papakura, bringing you the message again today. Some of you will have listened to my message last week. It was called Six Ways That God Sustains Us, Part 1. Last week, we looked at three different ways that God sustains us. And today, also with some songs, we're going to be looking at a further three ways that God sustains us. So the first part of the message will be a little bit of recap, just for those that didn't hear the message last time, and hopefully a good reminder to the rest of us. We're going to start today with a beautiful old hymn, and I'll put the words and the lyrics on the screen for us to enjoy together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Beautiful words. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't it good to know that God says all we have needed, his hand has provided. Okay, let me bring up my PowerPoint now. So as I've said, today we're going to be looking at a further three ways that God sustains us. I made the point last time that there are many ways that God sustains us, and I'm only going to be looking at six of those, but of course there are lots of other different ways. Today, though, before we move any further, is a very special day, and I, on behalf of the leadership again at First Church, we'd like to wish a very happy Father's Day. That's to all the fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, uncles, guardians, father figures, spiritual fathers. Really big thank you to you for who you are and for what you do. We hope that you have a special Father's Day and really feel appreciated. You maybe won't be able to celebrate as normal being in a lockdown, but we say really happy Father's Day. Really enjoy your day. It's a privilege to be a father, and I thank God for my own two wonderful children. Before we continue with the message, let's have a time of prayer together now. And there's a few things I'd like us to pray for. And of course, the first one, let's pray for our fathers and other fathers' figures. So we thank you, Lord, for fathers and those that play the role of a father figure or a mentor, or a grandfather, a spiritual father in our lives. Just pray for them, Lord, that you'll continue to give them your strength, your wisdom, and your blessing as they lead those that they father. And for us who are fathers, that you'll give us also your wisdom and your strength to be good fathers, to be godly fathers that will show you to our children. We move on to pray for any needs in our own church family. I don't want to mention specific names as this will be online, but we just pray, Lord, for anybody in First Church, Lord, who is in need of your touch at the moment in any way. We pray for those who are alone during this lockdown time, Lord, you will encourage them. Those who are suffering from physical health, Lord, we pray for your strength, Lord, and your healing and for good care for them. And for New Zealand in general, as Auckland stays in level 4 lockdown and the rest of the country south, moves down a level. We just pray, Lord, for your again, wisdom for the government and the medical people. Lord, for wisdom for to know what's best to do. We pray, Lord, for this virus, Lord, to stop spreading, that things, Lord, can quickly come back to normal again. Give our government leaders wisdom, Lord. We pray for those, especially who are essential workers, Lord, that you will keep them safe, Lord, as they are on the front line, whether that be in the airport, Lord, or in the medical profession, or in the supermarkets, the police, the firemen, all those people that work for us. And we thank you for them, ask your blessing on them. Lord, around the world, there are so many needs, Lord, especially the country of Afghanistan has been in the news so much, Lord. We lift that country to you. Ask, Lord, please, for your hand in that country. You know, some people have been evacuated, but many that wanted to be were left behind. And we just pray for them, Lord. Again, somehow, Lord, in the midst of this very difficult situation, that your name will be glorified. We pray for your children there, Lord, that you will strengthen them, help them to stand firm in you. Lord, just bless this world, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your church in so many countries around the world. We pray that Christians can be a witness, Lord, at these uncertain and difficult times with COVID, that we as Christians, Lord, will be able to speak a message of hope to those around us, Lord. Now leave a short time now for us to individually or as families to remember any personal situations that we want to bring to God right now, and I'll close. So, Lord, we bring all our prayers together. We ask for your blessing on the particular situations that we've brought before you. Lord, we thank you now for your word that we're going to listen to now. We pray for each of us, Lord, again for open ears, open eyes and open hearts, Lord, and open spirits, Lord, to listen to what you want to say to us. I pray for myself, Lord, as I share, that you will lead me by your Holy Spirit. And once again, Lord, that you will be glorified, Lord, as your truth is proclaimed. Lord, we say that we need you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to quickly recap, not everything that I said last week, but just a few quick pointers for those that didn't join us last time. We talked about the word sustain or sustainable last week, and we talked about sustainable energy, such as wind farms and solar power, energy that can keep going, that's not going to run out. It's sustainable. We talked about foods that sustain us because they give us energy that doesn't just get used up or burnt quickly, but lasts for a longer time. We talked about the sustain pedal on a piano that keeps the sound going. And the verb is to sustain, the adjective sustainable, and the noun sustainability. And one of the definitions that we got from the dictionary was, if something sustains you, it supports you by giving you help, strength, or encouragement. So that's what we're thinking about. When do we need to be sustained? Again, last week we mentioned several different situations when we need to be sustained. I'll leave you to read those on the screen yourselves, but probably all of us have experienced those situations at certain times, and we need help. We need strength from God to keep us going in those situations. The psalm that we read last week, I'll read again now. So Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles and have looked in triumph on my foes. So the verse that I've highlighted there in red is the verse that got me thinking about the Lord is the one who sustains me. What does that mean for us as Christians? It's a beautiful verse. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. It's a beautiful verse, but how can we actually practically put that into practice in our lives? Last week, we looked at the first three ways. One is just a very practical way that God sustains us on a day-to-day basis. He gives us what we need just to live. He gives us food and drink and sleep. He cares for our daily needs. We come to him and say, thank you, Lord, for providing for us. You're such a faithful God. The second area was worry. We can so easily worry and feel stressed by that. But the Bible says that we can cast or throw our worries onto God and he will sustain us. We don't need to be on our own worrying about stuff. We can bring those worries and share them with God and ask him for his help. And the third point we looked at last time was when we're so busy, God can sustain us. When we come to him and we spend time alone with him, drawing strength and comfort and peace just from that quiet, calm fellowship with him, even more so when we're busy. So that was the first three. Let's look now at another three ways that God sustains us. I've entitled this first one, Doubts, Insecurities, and Fears. I've preached on this area before, but I've got no hesitation in including it in this message because I think it's a real area that can be a problem for many of us. We have these things in our minds that can trouble us, and we want God's peace. We want God to sustain us in them. Maybe you thought or said these words before. If not audibly, maybe you've said them in your mind to yourself or actually said them to a person. You wouldn't like me if you really knew me. That speaks of our self-worth not being particularly good. A frustration. No one understands me. We're invited somewhere and we think, oh, What if I go there and no one talks to me? That can be a fear of rejection. And our own physical bodies, maybe you've said to yourself, oh, I don't like my nose, I don't like my legs, or another part of your body, I'll leave you to fill in the blanks. It's funny, sometimes we don't like the way that we look. When we've got straight hair, we want curly hair. When we've got curly hair, we want straight hair. Me, I'd like more hair, full stop. And then more personal, deeper spiritual questions. I know in general that God loves people, but does God really love me? And does God hear my prayers? Lots of different things we could add onto this list, but they're all areas that show our doubts, our insecurities, our fears. And when we really think those, they can be deep and they can really trouble us, and we need God's help to overcome them. See, words are so powerful. If we look back on and think back at what words people have said to us, so easy for us to remember the negative words, isn't it? They stick in our mind so much more than the positive words that people have said to us. And when we get to believe those negative words, even though they're not true, can be like a poison for us. And those kind of words can so easily drag us down in a downward spiral. So what do? We need the antidote. We need to replace those lies that we've heard, those lies that we've believed, and replace them with what is the truth. And where is the truth found? Of course, the truth is found in God's word. Just read a few verses, Joshua 1:8. This was the Lord's instructions to Joshua after Moses had died, and he was on the edge of going into the promised land. And he was saying to Joshua how important it was to have his word, God's word. Joshua 1 verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Always on your lips, day and night. Get as much of God's word, the Bible, into us as we can, as often as we can. I love this verse in Psalm 119, verse 9. See, the whole chapter is about God's word and God's promises. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart means, of course, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, thinking over it again and again, really getting it inside of us as a part of who we are. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, that's the wrong thinking, but be transformed, completely changed by the renewing of your mind. The way that we renew our mind is to get God's truth into our minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need God's word in us. Then, of course, when those doubts come, we can fight them with God's promises. Maybe we don't think that we look particularly nice and we think, oh, I'm not beautiful, I'm not handsome. When we feel that, we can go to God's word. Psalm 139 says, God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake making me. He made me. He knit me together in my mother's womb. My friends, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. That's the truth. Maybe we have that question, does God really love me? Surely God can't really love me. Countless promises in the Bible. I have loved you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible tells us for sure, yes, God does really love you. That's the truth. Replace the lie with the truth. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by Satan in the desert, in the wilderness? He quoted scripture. He quoted God's word, the truth. So the first area that I want us to think on today that God can use to sustain us is his word. When we feel those doubts or struggles or wrong beliefs that drag us down, go to God's word. Go to God's promises. Stand on the solid rock of God's truth. Not our feelings, not what our mind would tell us sometimes, but the truth. The truth of God's word can definitely sustain us. So, what's our part in that? To make Bible time a priority. If we don't look at the Bible much, of course we're not going to know what it says. Again, I don't say that as a condemnation. The Bible is there to help us. So we and those we know around us need the strength and encouragement from God's word. So get into the Bible. It doesn't need to be a long, long, long time every day. Use the time that you've got. For me, little and often is better than nothing. I like to focus on just a small chunk of God's word and really go over and over that, get the goodness out of it. Can I encourage you to do the same? God's word can sustain us. The next area, number five, that I believe God can use to sustain us is through the body of Christ, through the church. It's no mistake that God has described the church as a body with many, many different parts. You can see the picture in the middle there. It says, now you are the body of Christ. And this is important to know, each one of you is a part of it. We all have a part to play. Nobody can say, oh, I'm not needed, I'm not wanted, I'm not useful. Each one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. That's not my words, that's God's words to us. So be encouraged. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are an important part. We need every part, just as we do our physical bodies. I want you now just to think back on your own life. This is where I really wish we could be physically together and share our stories face to face. Think, how many times have you been helped or blessed by another member of our church family? Use the pictures there to help us think. On the left, listening. Maybe you've had a difficult situation in your life and somebody's just come alongside you and listened. They might not even have had the words to say to you, but they've listened and that's made you feel so much better. We can all do that. Maybe the Bible, maybe someone's come to you and encouraged you with a Bible verse or some wisdom from the scriptures when you've been struggling with something and they've shared a word or a passage with you. We can do the same. Maybe somebody has said, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through. I'm praying for you. We can do that too for each other. We can pray for each other. A smile. Smiles go a long way. Just a smile from somebody sometimes can really encourage us. Practical giving. I've put firewood there. We've been blessed by a couple of people in our church that have given us firewood, which we're enjoying now. It's been quite cold this week. The fire's burning. So those are practical ways that we can help each other. And money sometimes. Sometimes people have given us money to help us. And maybe we've helped each other in different ways, not only in these pictures. So let us be part of God's plan to support each other in the body of Christ, to sustain each other. These things might be just very little things, seemingly insignificant, but actually they're not. They're big things that can make a huge difference to our day and to our lives when somebody blesses us in these ways. Maybe we'll say something to somebody sometime, just like a prayer or a Bible verse, and we've got no idea the impact, but in the other person's life, wow, it can be huge. So let's be there for each other in the body of Christ. This picture there, I want to make sure we understand what it's talking about. It was a survey done, and it's called the response to doubt. The important thing is the question there you'll see at the top of the screen. When you experienced spiritual doubt, did you stop doing any of the following? These are all people who identified as Christian or used to be Christians. When they had doubt, what did they do? It's quite surprising. 45% of people in this survey, when they had doubt, said they stopped attending church or worship meetings. 29% said they stopped reading the Bible. 29% said they stopped praying. 25% said they stopped talking with family or friends about God. And the rest didn't do those things. But I was thinking, you know, doubt sometimes can cripple us. We all have times of doubt in our minds, and we need to be ready to help people when they experience doubt. In our church, when we've got people that are going through times of difficulty and doubt, let's accept them. Let's come alongside them. Let's encourage them, not judge them. Let's talk about it. Let's try and help you get through your doubts. May we be a church that does that, that encourages people and builds people up, that helps people really wrestle with things that they're struggling with. We don't want people to stop going to church or reading the Bible or pray just because they have doubts. We want to help them get through that. There's a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. This is Isaiah saying, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." So as Isaiah is saying, he was open to listen to God, to hear what God wanted him to say to other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as Christians, we as First Church, could hear what God's saying and to know the right word to say to people to sustain them when they are weary. The right word from God at the right time. This is part of being in the body of Christ, being there for each other, to help sustain each other. God gives the message. We are just the channel to bring that word to somebody at the right time. So ask God to help you to know what to say when you come across people that are weary, that are needing help. It's no coincidence that the phrase "one another" comes up more than 100 times in the New Testament. I'll just put a few of them. The Bible says, "Love one another." We're never meant to live out our Christian lives alone. We are the body of Christ. We need to love one another. We need to bear one another's burdens. That means when our brother or sister are struggling and it's too heavy for them, we come alongside them and we help them. Serve one another. There's many practical ways that people serve in church. And thank you to each one of you who's involved in serving in different ways. I won't name areas that people serve because I don't want to miss out any important area. But if you serve in any way in the church, thank you. We're serving God, but we're also serving one another. Jesus, the Lord, lowered himself and took the position of a servant and washed the disciples' feet and caused us to do the same, to serve each other in very simple and sometimes menial ways, to be there to serve each other. I love this one. Encouragement is always good. We're called to encourage and build up one another. It's two-way. Let's be positive people who encourage each other. Not just saying words for the sake of it, I don't mean that, but really encouraging each other, using God's truth and really being there for each other. Pray for one another. That's really important, isn't it? When somebody's got a need, we can stand with them and bring that need to God with them. It's not always easy. Of course, any place where you get a group of people together, there will be struggles sometimes. The Bible is very realistic on that. It says, bear with and forgive one another. Jesus forgave us, and he can give us the strength to forgive each other. That's important if we're to move on in unity. If there's anybody you're having a hard time with, take some time and pray about that. Ask God to give you strength to forgive them. So I think it's a wonderful privilege. God wants to use me and you and each of us to help sustain one another, to help sustain the members of the body of Christ. What a great thing that is. The last area that I think God can sustain us. Remember, there are many more. And this is a wonderful thing too, is God's presence with us. An oft-quoted verse in the second part of Hebrews 13, verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That word never is pretty all-encompassing, all-inclusive. There's never a time when God is not going to be with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. Wow, doesn't that give you strength to sustain you? When things are hard, you need that sustenance. Just remember, thank you, Lord. You have promised in your word, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. The end of Matthew, again, this very well-known verse, when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, the disciples must have felt pretty confused then what was going to happen next, because Jesus, their precious Jesus, was leaving them. What words did he leave them with? And surely, that's that word again, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promised his presence with the disciples. And of course, that's in the Bible. That's for us too. God's promises are for us as well. Jesus has left and ascended to heaven again. So how is it possible for him to be with us? These verses in John tell us. Again, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was slowly, slowly getting them ready for the time when he would die on the cross. He would rise again, then later ascend to heaven. And he said in John 14, 16 to 18, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to us as Christian believers. And the Holy Spirit can be with us, is with us all the time. The word hope maybe conjures up all sorts of pictures in your minds, but basically we all need hope. Without hope, it's so easy to give up. I was thinking of sometimes in the news we hear, oh, there's some people who've gone climbing in the mountains. They haven't been seen for 2 or 3 days. And everybody is wondering in the news, are they okay? What's happened to them? Are they still alive? Are they surviving? And as time goes on, it's easy for us to give up hope. Then we get a story in the news. Yes, they've been found. And our hope is restored again. And often when people have been found and they've been interviewed afterwards, they never gave up hope. The hope of seeing their families being reunited again gave them hope. We have a much stronger hope than that. A hope that can sustain us when things get tough. Look at this beautiful verse in Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My friends, God is the God of hope, the God of real hope. And the Holy Spirit in us can cause that hope to overflow. We have the hope, and it flows out of us and can be shared with other people. In these times when there can be no hope, sometimes people feel there is no hope around them, we can share the hope that we have in God through the Holy Spirit. So we come back to the verse that inspired this couple of messages in Psalm 54, verse 4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. I hope that this couple of messages have really got that into our hearts and minds and spirits. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let's have a quick recap as I come near to close now. So the 6 ways that I've looked at, again, there are more that God can sustain us. One is through providing for our very practical needs, things like food and drink and sleep and clothes, a place to live, All of those things, God sustains us practically. The second area was through casting or giving our worries to God, bringing them to him. He will sustain us through those worries. The third time was through spending time alone with God, getting strength from him to sustain us. And today we looked at God's promises, God's word, the Bible, his living word in us, getting those promises, getting the truth in us to fight the lies can really sustain us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And the fifth way, again, very practical. We've been placed by God in the church family, in the body of Christ. We need each other. Let's be there for each other to encourage each other and help each other. And that will be used by God to sustain us. And lastly, God will sustain us through his wonderful presence with us, through his Holy Spirit living inside of us. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a God that sustains us. So leave us here with that lovely verse on the screen. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let me pray now, and then we'll finish with a final song. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to look last week and this week at six different ways that you sustain us. Thank you, Lord, that you know at times we need that strength to keep going and when life is not easy. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us very practical ways to keep us going through your word, through each other, through food, through many different things, Lord. You've promised, Lord, to be with us, never to leave us, Lord. I pray for each of my friends and family, Lord, listening to this message, Lord, that you will be our help and our strength, the one who sustains us. Help us in this time of lockdown, Lord. Again, Lord, to know your peace, not to be worried in any way, but to know that you are with us. Ask for your protection over us in the coming days. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, I'm going to finish with a final song. It's probably a new song for you, but the words will be on there. It's called Living Hope. So I chose that because I finished the last part talking about the hope that we have in God. So enjoy these words that God is our living hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? Heart could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one. promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. What a beautiful song. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope that you have a good week ahead. Stay safe. And God bless you. And just dwell on what we've learned this couple of weeks. That God is there. God is the one who sustains us. So bless you. And thank you. And bye-bye.